Hello to everybody who bought a cat when they were high. It's Beautiful Anonymous. 1 hour, no phone call, no names, no holds barred.
I'd rather go one-on-one. I think it'll be more fun, and I'll get to know you, and you'll get to know me.
Hi everybody, Chris Gethard here. Hope you're doing well on this lovely Tuesday morning, or whenever you choose to listen to this in the future. You can still be doing well the other 6 days of the week. I'm not mad at you. But special love to those people who listen to it right away when it drops. Hello. First of all, we're coming up on 300 episodes. That's incredible. Never imagined that would be the case. This show has changed my life. And guess what? Starting this Friday, we're going to be sharing hashtag beautiful flashbacks on Facebook and Twitter. Each week, we're going to highlight one of our favorite episodes from the past. Keep an eye out in the Beautiful Anonymous Facebook group. Follow the show's Twitter, at @ButAnon, and check those out. And I have to say, getting the list together, a lot of people in the Facebook group kind of voted on which episodes they wanted in the pipeline to sort of be re-explored, re-highlighted. And if you're a newer fan of the show, if you've caught on midstream, or if you've missed a bunch along the way, we're going to be highlighting a lot of the ones that the fan base themselves point to as some of the high watermarks of the show's coming up on the 300 episode run. So thanks to everybody who helped contribute to that and organize that as well. Now, this week's call, you're going to hear, it's one that very near and dear to me, very near and dear to me ever since we recorded this one. A caller has Parkinson's. This is one of those things, I say it right away. It's one of those things we all know exists. We all kind of see it in life. Some of us more up close than others. Some people have it or see it in their families. And then some people maybe just in passing meet others who have it. But it's one of those stigmatized things we don't ask enough about. And our caller's going to fill us in. So much talk about the effect it has, the way people react to you, treatments, and some treatments where you hear about them, you go, oh my God, man. I can be like a Luddite sometimes. I can be scared in a sci-fi way of technology. And then sometimes you go, technology is saving people's lives every day. And our caller lays that out. And guess what? We've got a t-shirt, and all the proceeds are going to be donated to the Michael J. Fox Foundation. We worked with the caller on this. It's going to support Parkinson's research. The t-shirt will feature the phrase, "You can't fix stupid." You'll see where that comes out. You can go to podswag.com/beautiful. It's in blue or red, and check it out. Supports good cause. I'm not making any money off of this one. It's all going to support Parkinson's research, the Michael J. Fox Foundation, all in tribute to this really lovely caller who did such a good job telling us about a thing that I think is still pretty hidden in the shadows or stigmatized today.
Thank you for calling Beautiful Anonymous. A beeping noise will indicate when you are on the show with the host.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, Chris.
Hi.
This is Wonder Woman outgoing itself.
What was that?
I said, is this Chris?
This is Chris. Is that what you asked?
Yeah,
this is Chris. All right, I'm getting on the same page as you. I don't know why I'm so thrown off right now. I was actually taking a sip of water when you first spoke and then choked on it. And now everything is chaos. That's what's happening right now.
Yeah, I'm nervous as heck. Oh, are you recording?
Listen, if anything proves that you don't need to be nervous, it's how bad a job I have been doing for the first 40 seconds of this. Yes, we're recording. We are recording.
So how are you?
I'm actually doing really good. It's a really beautiful day in New Jersey. I spent a bunch of the morning walking around the neighborhood with my son. I started a new medication like 3 weeks ago, and it's actually really, really been great. So I'm feeling quite positive, actually. How are you?
Good. It's raining, so I've blocked water my plants tonight. So I just got back from the gym, and it was exciting. I'm proud of myself for doing that.
That's good. Yeah. It's nice to be able to go back to the gym again, huh?
I've been going throughout this whole COVID thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We wear masks and it's kickboxing.
Oh, and, cool.
And I can move, so I'm grateful for it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know of anybody that has Parkinson's in your family? Or?
Not in my family, but I do know two people who have... One who I have worked with professionally and someone else who I know personally who have Parkinson's.
Yeah, I was diagnosed at 30 when my son was 2.
Oh, wow.
And then my ex at the time, I was wishing it was all in my head, jokingly saying, because I used to work as a nurse on OB, and then I transferred up to neurology, acute rehab. And I had some patients with strokes and neural tremors and stuff. And so I thought it was just me being psychosomatic. But yeah, it turned out that after five doctors told me it's Parkinson's. I was hoping it was just deconditioning because it started off with a left-hand tremor. And I thought it was just getting clumsy and out of shape. But I ended up having deep brain stimulation. Have you heard of that?
Is that with like electrodes?
Yeah, electrodes in your brain. So I'm bionic, my kids say. But
wow.
It's made a world of difference. It's pretty amazing. I can turn it on and off. I have some YouTube videos out there to share.
You can do it yourself. You don't need to go to the doctor to do it?
Yeah. I have a little remote that I put over top. The battery's in my chest on my right side, and leads go up my neck and up the side of my head and into the top. And yeah, you could turn it off. I mean, they suggest not to, but sometimes I have these days where I don't really appreciate my day as well. So I could turn it off, and then I can't walk when it's off. I can barely stand. I can't open my hands, and I can barely talk.
But when it's on, you can kickbox?
Yeah.
That's a miracle.
I know. It's just like, I feel like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, because it just feels like it's a whole new world, because you don't really appreciate the gift of movement until it's been taken away and given back to you.
That is, it's just, you know, you see so much stuff. Technology is something to fear, and AI is going to cost everybody their jobs. And then, you know, actual movies about, you know, like that HBO show Westworld, it's like almost like a horror vibe about technology and how it's going to, but then you hear things like this where you go, oh no, people develop this because it can change people's lives for the better. I'm so happy to hear that this exists in the era when you were diagnosed.
Well, it's funny, if I was born 5 years earlier, I would have missed the opportunity, because I had to have a neuropsych test. I was taking 24 pills a day.
Oh, wow.
Minimum. Three every 3 hours. And one time, having kids, I have 2 kids. One is now in college and he's moved back home. And the other one's 14. And my 14-year-old went to therapy classes with me, and he would stomp because my feet would freeze when I was in the store, because I'd get really nervous. And my voice was really quiet and soft. And so he's like, Mom, do you want me to go ask the cashier for you? I was like, sure. If you ever wanted, he would stomp his feet because it helps me watch other people's feet. Because I would have to tell myself heel, toe, heel, toe, heel, toe when I was walking. And I could, if someone asked me a question, then I would feel messed up and I'd start to stutter step. And doorways, sliding glass doorways were horrible because it's anticipation. So when you walk up to the door, the sliding glass door would open and then my feet would freeze and people would run into me because it stopped immediately in front of them, not wanting to stop. It's just crazy. Then when I get nervous, everybody can tell.
Well, there's no need to be nervous. I mean, this is...
I used to get asked if I was drunk all the time.
That has to be very annoying. Very annoying.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because there's 2 things to driving. My left hand, I couldn't let go of the steering wheel when I was taking right hand turns. And if I had turned the link around, I would just use my right hand to let go, because my left side just started off really bad first. Then it progressed to the right side. I was a baby nurse for a while, and it got to the point where I couldn't even burp with my left hand, so I had to turn them around and burp them on the other side, because when the babies are born, especially C-section, they're really gaggy and spitty. So I got disability for that. And so I miss working as a nurse. It was my identity.
Yeah.
But But it's really paid off. I feel really blessed because I get to stay home and be a stay-home parent now. Single mom.
Now I have a lot of questions, if that's okay.
Yeah, ask away, because it'll help me feel better.
Well, one of the first things that struck me is, I guess before we even start with that, I feel like Parkinson's is a thing that everyone has heard of.
Yeah.
I don't know that everyone knows what it is. And I'm going to be honest and say that I'm realizing in the moment that I know it's neurological. I've met people who have it. I've seen tremors and, you know, it can affect people's appearance. And I feel like as I'm realizing this, I'm sitting here going, I bet there are a lot of people who, like me, don't know what it is, because it is sadly one of those things that I think people who don't have it tend to feel great and maybe feel discomfort and maybe feel awkward asking and maybe feel, right? It makes me feel like it's one of those things that it's, we all know that it's brutal. We see people who it's affecting, and that almost makes it stigmatized in a way, I think, to ask directly about it.
I am more than comfortable asking any questions. I encourage people to talk to me about it. And I worked as a nurse and can see how bad it can get for people. My neighbor actually has Parkinson's too, and he's starting to, his feet freeze to the ground and he can't pick up his feet sometimes and he falls. And I see that and it just breaks my heart, because I look at my hands and they worry that my hands are just, because, like, for example, weightlifting at the gym, I did our upper body today. My hands started shaking after doing repeated reps of 20 pounds in each arm. But then my hands start shaking. I'm like, wait a minute. I get that sense of panic, but then it goes away after I remind myself, you just lifted 20 pounds on each side for five reps of 10.
I could not do that. I can't do that. What you just described is something I am certain I cannot do. I'm serious about that.
Yeah. I was really scared to go to the gym because this whole COVID thing, for example, too. I just started getting comfortable going out in public because I had my brain surgery 4 years ago. I walked out of the hospital with the electrodes in, but no battery. I figure you get a Christmas present on Christmas Day, but you don't get the batteries. Batteries not included. So I had to go into separate surgery to get the battery installed. Then I got programmed. And the first programming, I felt my smile come back, because with Parkinson's, they have facial masking. So my neighbor thinks I'm a snot because I asked her to clip her grass on the back if I should do it. She's like, she thought I was mad at her. But a lot of people don't really express, like, realize that there's facial masking with it. Have you heard of that?
No.
It's where, like, it's hard to smile. It's hard to express facial expression. So they interpret you as disinterested or crabby, resting right. Bitch face, basically. And when I was on the surgery, you're awake for the surgery too. When they put the electrodes in, sorry, I'm ADD. I'm all over the place. But I made a list of things to tell you. And it's just been my life since I'm 42 now. And when I had the brain surgery, I was 38, and I felt like I was 90 going on 30. I went back age 10 years because I got my mobility back, because you only have one site done at a time. And my surgeon, you want to know what his name was?
What was it?
MacGyver.
Now I'm gonna pause right now and draw a line in the sand with you, my friend, because you're talking to me about something very serious, and you've now slipped in that your doctor's name was MacGyver. You've dropped the phrase resting bitch face. You've said batteries not included, and you keep saying them in the exact same tone of voice. You're saying all the serious stuff, and I just want to call out that I am becoming aware that you are very funny. And I am going to be laughing, and there may be listeners who think it is inappropriate, but I can tell you are trying to get me to break, And it might make me look really bad to laugh, but that's at least the third time that I have felt you try to get me to laugh at the end of a sentence where the beginning of the sentence was about something very hard to hear. So I'm on to you. I want you to know I'm on to you with this.
Can you imagine me talking to you in person and having this resting betrayal to tell you a joke people don't realize they're serious?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
And I call it Parkinson's the mind fuck disease because it fucks with your mind. Because some days you can do it and some days you can't do it. It depends on how stressed you are. Like one day, my boys are home and they wanted pizza. And so it was like 5 o'clock and my pills are every 3 hours. And it caused too much of the medication causes dyskinesias, which is if you ever seen a meth addict, how they move. You know those balloons that are at gas stations? The wobbly things? They're like...
Yes. I know exactly.
That's what I felt like all the time.
Wow.
With medications. And then, when meds weren't working, they call it on and off. On is when meds are working and things are good. And off is when it's not working. And my on time was getting so much shorter. And I was taking more and more meds and getting more and more dyskinesias. And Parkinson's and Tourette's are kind of like opposites. Tourette's is kind of like too much dopamine. And some medication, there's so many side effects of some of the medications. Like one of the medications I was on was a neutral patch, and it was a dopamine recycler. And so you know how serotonin reuptake inhibitors are?
I mean, I've talked about dopamine and serotonin with my shrink so many times in terms of my mental health. So I understand how complex that chemistry gets.
Yeah, and sometimes when you eat protein with it, because a lot of the medications causes nausea, like cinnamon. My grandpa had Parkinson's too, and he was on the trial of medication for cinnamon. And I asked one day, why is his feet... why isn't he walking as good? And my mom said his dopamine's not working anymore. And I thought, your cinnamon? It's called dopamine, cinnamon, whatever. Sorry, I'm getting caught up here. I have so much to tell you. But my mom's like, his cinnamon is not work. I thought she said his cinnamon's not working anymore. And it's just kind of ironic how his, I don't know what to say. It's just weird seeing my mom had lost her dad to Parkinson's. Now then her daughter had Parkinson's. And so it was just like, my mom stayed with me for a while when I had the brain surgery, but I was driving within a week.
Now, do they know what exactly Parkinson's is and what causes it? I mean, you've spoken so much to the brain chemistry, and I would imagine if they know how to place these electrodes, they've figured out what's going on in the brain that can be corrected.
There's one area my area of the brain is STN, and actually what they're using is they can use DBS, deep brain stimulation, for obsessive compulsive, manic depression, major depression, obesity, essential tremors, and they even use it for localized back pain and bladder. I've known people that have gotten it for their bladder because they don't have bladder function. And some have it for back pain that are addicted to narcotics.
And Parkinson's, so it's a section of your brain is not producing what it's meant to produce, and it affects you neurologically?
Yeah, mine's in the subthalamic nucleus. It's like right behind the eyeballs and towards the back. And then there's a STN and GPI, global pallidus. I can't remember how to say it, but anyway. There's one area of the brain where you don't make change in medications, and then which is usually targeted at the older generation. And since I had such a high intolerable to the medications that caused me dyskinesia, I went from 24 pills to one.
Wow. So this is a miracle.
Yeah.
These electrodes are a miracle. It must have been scary for you to be working in medicine in a field where you were working with people with neurological things going on, I guess is the broadest way to say it, and then realize something was setting in with you personally?
Well, it was really, I helped people in the nursing home since I was 16 as a nursing assistant. Then I got my RN European, then moved down to the cities, worked as a, yeah. And you see all these patients that just get devastated when they, like, after having a stroke, they can't walk anymore. And I had one guy tell me, where I was trying to get this guy to drink his thickened liquids because he had a stroke, he couldn't really talk and he couldn't use his right side, but he can walk with a cane with some standby assist. And I was trying to get him to take his pills. And finally, I was like, you know, I'd be grateful if I was like, you're 55, right? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, I'd be grateful that I'd be still walking by your age. So appreciate where you're at. And it was just, I was frustrated because I had to put an IV back in him, and my hand was too shaky to put it back in. Otherwise I would have someone else to do it. But, yeah, it turned him around because he see me about a week later and he was walking in the hallway with his wife. And he's like, this is the woman that got my ass in the gear.
That's cool.
Put a different perspective on it. Then I had a 94-year-old guy that was dancing up until the day he had a stroke when he was there. And, he had to have help to the bathroom, and so many stories to tell you. And he was like, what's the purpose of living? I'm like, well, you got this family sitting out there in your room waiting for you that are going to take you as an example on how to keep living after a tragedy. And it's funny because you can still teach someone that's 94 years old something new. And so I think a lot of my nursing experience actually helped me. No one to ask for help and when to share.
So, well, it sounds like every inspirational thing you had said to other people, you really believed to a degree where they served as a blueprint for you down the line.
Yeah. And I had one person. There's people that just won't understand. You can't fix them. Not fix them, but you can say at least you tried. Like, I was walking into work and it started off with my left side kind of limping, and I didn't have an arm much of it. But first thing you lose is your arm swing with Parkinson's. So if you notice that someone has Parkinson's, their arms are bent, the shoulders are shrugged, face masking, shuffly feet. Sometimes they have a hard time getting up to a standing position. Like when I sit down, I usually fall into the chair. Mm-hmm. And we've gone through so many chairs in this house.
Let's pause there. Because we have to pause sometime. This is a conversation I don't want to pause at all. But we have to. It's how the world works. It's how the show works. We'll be right back. Thank you to our advertisers. And now let's get back to this delightful conversation.
Sometimes they have a hard time getting up to a standing position. Like when I sit down, I usually fall into the chair. Mm-hmm. And we've gone through so many chairs in this house. But I forgot where I was at. Oh, the arm swing. Yeah, I was walking in, and this is like within the first year after I was diagnosed, first year or two. And this couple, when you're walking into work, the hallway is crowded. And there's some people in scrubs, and there's some people that are just visitors walking. There's a couple that were walking behind me, and they're like, look at her. She must think she's all that. She's got a pimp walk. Because I was walking with my right arm was straight, but my left arm was tucked into the side, and I was kind of limping. And when I would take my medications, sometimes it caused, you know, you've heard of dyskinesias, right? I told you about dyskinesias, right?
I think you did, yeah.
And that's where there's too much dopamine. And so, like, you've heard of Tourette's, right? So sometimes they have that impulsivity to say something or do something. That's kind of how it felt for me. Like, I felt like I had too much movement and I could say something inappropriate but anyway, my breathing was affected. So I felt like I was having a panic attack when I come to work, because I'd take my pills at 2:30 and then my shift started at 3. My patients thought I was nervous. take care. That's another thing too, is like, I was totally competent to work as a nurse, but my body showed that, my facial masking showed that I was nervous, or said I was nervous, and my hands were shaky that I was nervous. But one patient went, I'm going all over the place, I know, I'm sorry. But where do you want me to go back to, the taking care patient or walking into work with this couple behind me that were saying that I had a pimp walk?
I'm happy to go wherever you want, but pimp walk is quite intriguing in the moment, I would say.
I turned around. Yeah, I was walking in front of a couple. They were younger than me, and they were holding hands. And they were speaking loud enough for me to hear them. As I look at her, she's acting like she's all that. She's acting like she's out of pimp walk or something. I turned around and I looked at them. I didn't see anything. I was just like, you know what? I said to myself, I can't fix stupid today. And then I made it up to my floor to work. I went into the break room and I just bursted out in tears, because that was before I started sharing that I had Parkinson's with everybody. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't help to say negative things to people. Like, I just don't get it, why people have to say stupid stuff. Because a compliment goes so much further than a negative comment. But yeah, that day I wasn't able to fix that stupid couple that were walking behind me, but I sure opened some eyes that everybody has a story and everybody has. Yeah. So then I disclosed to my whole floor of nurses that I had Parkinson's, and so they got pretty tolerant. It got to the point where I couldn't give baby baths anymore, because I was too, you know, when a newborn's born, they need a bath and they're covered with Vernix. Can you imagine having to pick up that slippery baby and give them a bath?
I can't. And I also remember, as like an ignorant person, being told about Vernix before my son was born and finding it so strange that I'd never heard of it before.
And how about meconium?
Oh, meconium. Forget about it. That one I had heard about, but I never heard it called meconium. I had a friend who, when his daughter was born, he was like, the first time she took a shit, it wasn't shit. It was this other like crazy black substance I've never seen. So I knew that existed because my friend had previously freaked out about it. And then I actually have a stand-up bit about all the things I learned from this nurse we took a class from. And the one that I really did not know, and that I found many people do not know, is that when the baby's head starts emerging, it will actually sometimes come partway out and then slide back up. And that can happen a couple times. And that is really disconcerting. And I feel like that should be more public knowledge.
Or else they look like aliens. They look like blue little aliens coming up.
Oh my God. When my son came out, his head was like cone shaped and he was purple. And we have pictures of him when he's first born, and his hands look like man hands. He just looks so crazy. He looks so crazy. Anyway, it's not about me. I noticed one of the people I know has Parkinson's. I've been in situations, and I don't want to reveal too much because it's not my business to tell anybody's story, but I mentioned it's someone I know professionally, and I've noticed that in casual conversations, it will affect his speech, and then professionally, when something needs to be said in a more public setting, it seems like he can focus and avoid that.
Anxiety has a lot to do with it. Like, in distractions. So if you're not, like, if you're holding a paper and standing at a podium, it's easier because someone's not going to interrupt you and talk to you, because then you have to switch gears and go from. So the switching gears is what's the hardest part. Going from sitting to standing, going from talking and walking. It's like you can't chew bubblegum and pat your head and rub your belly at the same time. That would be impossible. Like, I suck at jumping jacks at the gym because all my arms are flailing and I have a hard time coordinating every little body part to go at the same time. So I look like a fool doing jumping jacks, but then usually I catch on to it. And my anxiety has a big role to play in it. So, like, the longer and longer I've been going to the gym, the more and more confident I get. Plus, too, everybody knows me there. And it's Farrell's Gym. Have you heard of it?
I don't think I have.
My day goes so much better after going to the gym, because I can find that if the initial first 5 minutes of moving or doing it, the first 5 minutes of starting any task is horrible. Like getting up in the morning, I take my pills at 6:30, go back to bed and wait for it to kick in at 7. Then I get up and start walking to the bathroom. And like, everything's so stiff. And my DBS is on it all the time. But it's always so hard from going from sitting to standing. But once you've been moving for 5 minutes, my theory is for myself, you can do anything for 5 minutes. Just even if you don't want to do it, like dishes, dishes were hard too, because that circular movement with your wrists was hard. Now I actually enjoy doing dishes, but I always hate doing dishes, but for the most part, it's the fact that I can do it now that is exciting. And making my bed, like raising my arms above my shoulders was absolutely impossible. And breathing was a challenge too, because your breathing, respiratory rib cage is a muscle too, and is automatic. And so when you take a deep breath, it's easier. But it's just crazy how, like, I do a lot of studies at the University of Minnesota, and they've had me have it off, my DBS off for 5 hours, and I did some studies. One of them in particular, they gave me a bagel to eat, and I was so used to chewing like smaller things, like noodles were easier to eat than steaks and bagels, because the jaw, just chewing on things is absolutely hard. And I had to spit out the bagel because I was like, I took a big bite full because I was so, because having it off for, like, usually when I turn it off, I only turn it off for like a minute and then I'm done. I was like, I can't imagine how I did this for 5-10 years without it. Because I was actually very suicidal. The only thing that kept me going is my kids. Because my ex-husband left me. His dad had Parkinson's too. And he died at 61. So, like, great, I'm not going to live past 50. But I'm going. And plus two, I'm sorry, I'm all over the place.
That's totally fine. Totally fine.
Yeah, can you imagine having ADD and Parkinson's at the same time? Hard enough to do one moment movement.
I could hear in your voice when you're trying to get me to laugh, and I don't want to laugh at a sentence like, can you imagine having ADD and Parkinson's at the same time? I feel like it's making me appear cruel, but I hear the smirk you are saying it with, so I need to call that out again.
Yeah, because yeah, it's kind of weird how I go from talking about suicide, not wanting to live, then switching off to another joke.
Are you talking to the right guy on that one?
Yeah, I've listened to so many of your podcasts, and I was like, I wonder if you'd want to hear my story. So that's why I called in.
I'm glad
and
you did.
Sure enough, yeah, my kids are, I'm so proud of my kids, because for one thing, they saved my life more than they know. And when the doctor told me that I had Parkinson's when my son was two, my older one was 5 years older, so he's 7. And we had to bring my 2-year-old with to the doctor's office with us. And she was telling me that I had Parkinson's. So of course I start crying, and my son is doing his typical 2-year-old son things where they're grabbing the garbage bag and knocking over the garbage can and babbling. And you can tell, you can tolerate your own kid, but someone else can't tolerate him. So she's like, Michael, if you don't stop misbehaving, I'm going to send you out to the lobby to wait for your parents. So I discuss with your mom about her Parkinson's. Like, how would you react to that?
Yeah, that is a lot. That is a lot.
And so I didn't go back to see her. I switched doctors, but I can't be upset with her because it is a older person's disease, and some occasions you have the younger people having it. But so she wasn't very familiar with the younger doctors. And what's funny is the doctor that I have now, the neurologist, he was my, he had a child, or they had a newborn, and I took care of the newborn. I did their hearing screen. He's like, yeah, I see how difficult your job is, and trying to hold a ear probe in the baby's ear to do the hearing screen. So he had sympathy, and he's the one that helped me get on disability.
Was this had you been caring for his baby before your diagnosis?
No.
No. Got it. Got it.
His wife had a baby, and she was, I came into the room, and then I was like, oh, it's you. You're my doctor. And I think he was my doctor for at least a couple of years beforehand.
And it was random. It was just a random thing that you helped that baby. Yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah, and I was like, you got to come with me. I do a series screen. And he's like, now I see how you don't realize how important your hands are until you can't. Like, my therapy was going out in my yard and gardening, pulling weeds. And so now, you know what I get to do for work now? I deliver flowers for a friend.
There are less pleasant jobs. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I get to see people's faces. When someone else orders flowers for somebody else and you get to deliver it for them, I kind of feel like I'm cheating them out of the joy of seeing the smile on their face. But now I should make a point to say, God bless you. And a smile goes a long way. Like, I was in the pedal for Parkinson's class, and this one gal, because I was the youngest one there, of course, and they mostly upset, some of them are, that they have Parkinson's, but they see me and they're like, at least I'm, they're like, you don't mind if I say it? I'm like, go ahead. At least I'm not young. And people get a different outlook once they meet me. They're like, well, at least I wasn't your age. I'm like, and the common question I get is, when I say I have Parkinson's, they're like, you're too young. I'm like, yeah, well, I am going on 90 years old. I just look like I'm in my 40s. I haven't perfected that joke yet, though, but I asked a friend if I should. How can I reply to people that ask me or say that you're too young? I'm like, well, I know that part. That's obvious.
Well, you know what I love about you doing that? Is that someone has just heard that you have Parkinson's, and then you just in deadpan fashion claim that you're 90, and they have to sit there and decide, am I going to call this person who's clearly not 90 years old out on this, or am I going to horrifically insult someone who has just opened up to me about a condition they're in the trenches dealing with? And it must put people on the spot in a way that delights you.
I feel that makes me sound kind of, I'm so used to feeling uncomfortable. So it doesn't, I take for granted that some other people I could be making other people for granted and feel uncomfortable. So I don't want to try to do that part.
I think it's funny.
But yeah, so it was so doom and gloom for so long. Like, when I was initially diagnosed, I just remember feeling devastated, that feeling in your stomach, it's just like, my life is over. But then you look at your kids and you see them moving around and meeting you. And so it's just like, God, just give me the opportunity to live till they get in school. And so my oldest one, he's in college now, but I signed him up for swimming in his eighth grade year. And he broke the high school record for the swim team. But
that's super cool.
I know. His name was up on the wall and everything. And the funniest thing is too, is like, with walking alongside the pool and stepping up the bleachers to sit on, find a chair. But walking alongside the pool, I was so scared of like the dyskinesias, or, you know, like that balloon thing I told you about.
Yeah.
I was afraid to walk alongside the pool because. But then I'm like, I'm doing this for my kids. I want to be there. I want to see this. I get to see this. And this is when I had just half my side done. So my right side is over medicated, or no, my left side was done first. So it's right side of the brain for the left side of the body. And so for 6 months, I had one side of my body that wasn't shaking and the other side that was shaking. And so I learned how to type with my left hand and disregarded my right hand. But then when I drink water, I would hold the water, because sometimes your movement got too, like, it's hard to medicate one side of your body with pills when the other side is working just fine. So I threw a glass of water in my face one time because I was just like, ah, because I couldn't control my movements. This is good. But yeah.
Now
walking.
Oh, no. Go for it. Finish the thought.
go for it. I want to hear your point. What were you going to ask?
Well, I was going to say, my son just turned two weekends back, and he is at an eight. I mean, first of all, it's like really the first time that we can connect on a one-to-one level. I have these, like, even today, right before we taped, I spent a half hour sitting with him looking out a window, and he was, every time a bird came by, he flipped out and was talking to me about the birds and telling me that he likes yellow birds. And I don't know that he's seen yellow birds, but regardless, very sweet. But also, I would not want to be told that something that's going to slow me down physically is happening with a two-year-old in the house. They climb stuff, they fall over, they put themselves in dangerous situations. That must have, you're speaking so much of your kids and how much pride they bring you, and it's awesome, and I love it. There must have also been fear, especially with that tiny one.
Yeah, Wendy, this will bring tears rise. Because everybody, sometimes people get brave enough to ask me, well, what about your kids? Because I have my father-in-law, my ex-father-in-law, biological grandfather of my kids, Parkinson's, and he died. My dad got encephalitis back in 2001, so he's cognitively impaired. And he worked on a fertilizer plant. And so there's two ways you can get Parkinson's. There's genetic and there's biological. I mean, chemical, like they say, Roundup can cause stuff like that. And my dad would work on the fertilizer plant, and I'd go visit him at work, and I would climb the sand dunes. Like, they look like sand dunes, but they're piles of fertilizer. And I'd just climb it. And so, plus two, I'd wash his clothes. And so he'd come home with chemicals on his clothes, and I'd wash them. So there's big thought that it's pesticides and herbicides and stuff like that. And then you have the genetic component of my grandpa having it. Then now there's that fear of my kids getting it, and I've thought of doing genetic testing. But they're just like, why would you want to know if your kid had a neurological disease?
Well, that's if ever there was a cliffhanger, it's that. What a question for any parent to ask themselves. Wow, we will hear my answer, we will hear a caller's opinions, and we will hear a lot more momentarily. Thank you again to the advertisers who help us bring this show to the world for free. We're going to go ahead and finish off the phone call.
My grandpa having it, then now there's that fear of my kids getting it, and I've thought of doing genetic testing, but they're just like, why would you want to know if your kid had a neurological disease? Like what you have?
That is, because what a question. What a question. How do you even know? How do you know what's better? That's almost impossible to answer. Do you want to live in that fear of, oh, something is likely to happen along the way? Or do you want to not have that hanging over them? Or do you know because there might be things that help prevent it or delay it? What a hard question.
And so it's just like my kids are the pickiest eaters ever. My older one's getting better, but my youngest one is so picky. It's like, not on top of that, cooking food and having picky hands and trying to make a peanut butter sandwich is hard enough, let alone trying to, I have steel gloves that I would put on just to cut vegetables up. And like I said about chewing steaks or stuff that was chewy, so it was so hard to make. And then plus two, getting the energy to get up and make something when they came home from school. But, and my ex, I was a single mom I'm still a single mom. And now it's a lot easier doing all this stuff. But even if it just lasts for another 5, I'm like, God, just give me another 5 years of this. Because, I mean, I'm really grateful that I don't mind having Parkinson's. It's really opened my eyes to how to view the world. Because there's people that have far worse than me. And the first thing I thought, well, at least it's not Lou Gehrig's disease. Because that, you're gone in 5 years and you're trapped in your body. And the question I was always used to ask myself is, if I were to get disabled, would I want my physical ability to go or my mental ability to go? And I just really don't know that question.
Yeah.
To answer that one.
That's heavy.
I worked in nursing for so long, and there was our mayor of the town that I live in was a resident, and he was perfectly physically capable to do stuff, but his cognition was out. So to get him away from the doors, because once he got outside, it was hard to get him back inside. And he was taller than me, and he was very aggressive when he got his mind set on something. So one time I just yanked his arm, and I'm like, come get me. And he chased me down the hallway, but I got him away from the door. The one thing that I live by is, I know it's easier said than done, but Michael J. Fox said it. And if you ever watch videos of Michael J. Fox and want to figure out what dyskinesias look like, because there's people that criticize Michael J. Fox, they're like, oh, he's just acting. But you see those movements where he's overly moving? That's dyskinesia. And then when he's not taking enough medications is when he's rigid and stiff and his shoulders are shrugged. But one thing that he said was, you worry about the worst case scenario happening, and if it happens, you've lived it twice. It's my favorite saying ever.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, I just want to say something that I bet a lot of our listeners are also thinking, which is, and I don't want to bring something up painful, because you have been remarkably positive through this call, and you loop everything around to a positive thought. And man, do I admire that, because I don't always have that ability, and I'm not dealing with something where I need electrodes in my brain. So it's commendable and inspiring how positive you are. But I just have to say that for you to wind up as a single mom when you're in the situation you're in is not giving me fond feelings towards your ex, even though I know nothing about him and his reasoning. It's making me feel like that was cruel, and I hate that happened to you.
Yeah, that brings a lot of emotion, because I've forgiven him, and I'd rather be grateful than hateful. And the first thing my kids said about me, because I was known for saying my opinion, because I wasn't always positive, and I still have my days, but I visit Pity City often, but I don't live there, so... But in regards to that, we couldn't talk. And I read the best book ever. It's called Joint Custody with a Jerk. I'm like, this is going to give me ammunition to get back at him. But it made me realize how angry I am. And then a lot of the feelings that I had of anger, I had to treat the kids like a business instead of with him, because he's very career business orientated and he's a no dad. And so I can't fix him, but I can, but it's still my kid's dad. So I want them to have, because they're not going to have me in their life forever, but unfortunately, they're not unfortunately, but they would more likely. But, it's not about me when it comes to my kids, because I just had to, it was still their dad. I mean, if I hated on their dad, then I was 50% not loving on my kids, because anyway. But his sister, though, their aunt and their grandma is not in the picture really, and that's one thing I always feared, because with my father-in-law having Parkinson's, he was trying to cut the turkey one year for Thanksgiving, and he was starting to drool, because that's another thing you do a lot is you drool. I drool at night. But anyway, my pillow is always saturated. But anyway, I'll go back to the comment. He was drooling and he's cutting it, and I'm like, Tim, go offer to cut the turkey. He's like, oh, that's too stubborn. You want to do it. I'm like, just go take over, because when you got Parkinson's, you want to do as much as you can by yourself, because sometimes you can do it, sometimes you can't. It's not consistently, so it's just you don't want that time to, like, you need to ask for help. But then, there's so many ways I can go direction ways on that, because anyway, I'll get back to that part. That was the emotional part, because his sister chimes up, it's like, Dad, just cut the fucking turkey, Dad, because he was struggling getting the electric knife going. And he was drilling. He's like, Dad, you're disgusting. You're drilling on the turkey. I'm like, oh my gosh. That's the way his kids treat him. how are they going to treat me if I stay in this relationship? But he cheated. He fell in love with my best friend.
No.
Yeah.
I danced around it before. Now I hate this guy. I was being soft in case you guys were still close, but now, oh my God, are you serious?
I had suggested going to counseling because he's like, well, we just fell apart. I'm like, I was going through grieving with the diagnosis. I mean, but she can't fix stupid sometimes. And so
you can't fix stupid. That's one of the greatest sentences ever said on this show.
It was just like, sometimes you can't fix it, but you just got to deal with it because just like politics are not perfect, but you got to live with it. That's another thing too. The biggest thing that I loved about having brain surgery is the headspace you got back. Because if you're always thinking about how to walk and you're always looking down the ground and you're not looking up, walking and being able to look up at the trees and the cherry blossom, this is the time of the year the cherry blossoms are out and the wind blows through it and all the petals fall down. I was that person that you'd see 4 years ago, because when I couldn't walk past the mailbox, my mailbox is just not even the length from 100, not even 100 yards. Like I live in the rural area. So my mailbox is, anyway, so it felt like it was miles away, but now I can walk for miles and miles and miles. And I would be walking and I'd see a cherry blossom tree and I'd just stand there and watch it. I don't care if people see me staring up at a tree because you really don't realize. I mean, watching people walk too is amazing. I mean, I love watching people walk and I always think, I hope they realize how blessed they are to have that gift to just walk. Then we have a happy day, but everybody has a story. You wonder what their story is. So that's why I commend you for doing this podcast because everybody has a story, no matter how tough or big it is. It still causes them angst. So the more positive you can feel, the better. But yeah, with lack of dopamine, it's really hard to be positive some days. And some days I really struggle with it. And so that's why I say, just do it for 5 minutes, make your bed. Because there's a good YouTube video out there that has general talk about make your bed. Look that one up one of these days. Because there's days that all I felt like I could do is just make my bed. But I mean, it's hard to make your bed when you're in it. So at least if you got one thing, if you didn't get anything else done, at least you get to crawl back into a freshly made bed.
I love that. And I got to say, as much as is possible through a podcast where you're an anonymous person, I love you. Because
I love you too.
That stretch started with you revealing that your husband didn't just leave you because he wasn't strong enough to deal with what was happening with you, which is what my assumption was. He fell in love with your best friend. And you started off talking about that. And I had said, you know, you're so positive. And somehow you went from my husband left me for my best friend to at the very least, if you get out of bed, you get to crawl into a freshly made bed. That is a remarkable start to finish in terms of positivity. Remarkable.
And I wasn't always as positive. And the first thing my kids said after I had brain surgery, like there was a month there that after I had done, like go through this programming. It sounds kind of crazy, but then they set the settings and then you come back about a couple weeks later and it gets just better and better each time. Like going from that feeling of not being able to do something to having the function back and knowing that it's going to stay. The biggest anxiety that I had over after having brain surgery was, what do I do with all this time now that I have? I have more on, like, remember I mentioned the on and off time? I had so much more on time than I had off time because I only could do housework when my meds were working. And now I could do housework all the time. And so I had a hard time sitting down. I just felt so much anxiety with sitting still. Like, if this is what's bothering me, I've got it pretty made. Like, usually I'm financially comfortable, but I've got birds in my wall. So I'm getting... The decision to get, sorry, I'm going off on another tangent here. I'm getting siding on my house because my house really needs it, and it's masonite siding. So I'm getting new windows, and I feel like that was a harder decision to sign the contract for having someone do my siding than it was to have brain surgery. But let me show you something. I got birds. My son has birds in his wall. You can hear them. I wanted to tell. I don't know if you can hear them today.
I can't.
I'll show you.
Wait, they're in the wall?
Yeah, they're in the wall. See? Listen. Make it really loud.
Can't hear them.
Shoot. Because there's a woodpecker that made a hole, then the bird that nested in it, and it's like there's a layer of sheetrock, then there's plastic, and then there's insulation. Then there's the masonite siding. Well, the woodpecker went through the masonite siding and the just pulled all the stuffing out, insulation. So now they're right behind the sheetrock and the plastic. So if they were, so my son sleeps downstairs until siding gets replaced. So yeah, that was the biggest decision to get siding. Things that I have a problem with making commitment issues or have commitment. And actually, there's another funny story that I wanted to tell you about my cat too. I was listening to your podcast about that guy that his cat saved him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, anyway, so another question I get commonly asked is, do you use medical marijuana? Does marijuana help? Well, yeah, it kind of does. But usually I ask, why? Do you want some? Do you got some? Whatever you feel so. But I used to text my neighbor 420-911 because I would be so frozen that all I could text was 420-911, and she'd come over with a joint and we'd smoke it, and then I'd feel better. But it helps with this, it lowers your dopamine. So when you're having dyskinesias and you're trouble twisting and moving, because your body likes to twist and turn. But yeah, so anyway, so my friend who gave me, I had my final DBS surgery programming. And my birthday was on, I sent you a video to your producer that you can look up if you wanted to, because I turn it off. But anyway, what am I getting at? Okay, slow down. I got to slow down my thoughts on.
Okay.
I had gotten the sucker, this edible sucker. And I had consumed it, but it takes so long for edibles to kick in. They're like, oh, I'm fine. So I looked up, decided to get a cat. Because I could finally empty a litter box without shaking the litter all over the place.
Uh-huh.
And so I got a cat while I was high.
So you took a bunch of edibles, that classic thing of, oh, I didn't do anything. And then it kicks in and it feels like you are just blindsided. And then, so you got super high and bought a cat.
Yeah, I got a cat that I was driving home with the cat. I'm like, oh my God. I was going super slow. I'm like, but anyway, she's my blessing. I wanted to get, like, I've got, my sister lives on a farm, so she has a bunch of cats that she'll have every spring. And I'd take a cat home, then I'd get tired of it. But I'd spay and neuter them. And so then I'd end up giving them to someone else that wanted one. Because I had a commitment issues, because I was afraid that I went. That's the biggest thing was challenging with having Parkinson's, was committing to something and sticking with it, and knowing that you'll feel like you've heard of the spoon theory, right?
I know that I have, and I feel like we've spoken about it on the show, but I'm blanking a little bit in the moment on what it is.
But I don't really use that theory very much, but I've heard of it quite often. It's just like, you got to save your energy, basically, and use it wisely. And it's hard to do sporadic things at a spur of the moment, like when a friend asks you if you want to meet, go for a walk. It's just like, well, maybe I can. So they're like, they get frustrated with you that you can't commit. And so it's just like, well, I don't know how I'll feel. Like if I miss the medication, if I miss a time dose, then I'm playing catch up. If I over-medicate, like if I eat a turkey sandwich with my pills, then it's not going to absorb as well. So then I get less effective. So then one time I had pizza. I didn't finish this story earlier. I had ordered pizza for my boys, and it got to be 6 o'clock and my meds were due. So I took my pills because I was getting stiff and I couldn't really walk. Well, anyway, it wasn't working. I laid on my bed, my stomach, and I couldn't move. And I was just getting awful. And my kids were, Mom, they need something. We need something, whatever. And I had to go throw up my pizza. and retake my pills. Just that way I can walk around and move again. And I didn't want my kids to see any of that because I just, there's a lot of anxiety and stuff that you hide from your kids because you don't want the, and the best place to cry, the best place to ever cry is in the shower.
We have 3 minutes left. We have 3 minutes left. I want to ask you a question. I have an instinct. Let me know if you'd be comfortable with it. I think we need to make a t-shirt. And I think we need to donate any proceeds made from that t-shirt. And we'll sell it through Beautiful Nonymous. And we'll donate proceeds to an organization that you trust and that you like. But I'm wondering, should the t-shirt be, we could do it like,
drunk?
Well, we could do, I think we could do, I'd rather be grateful than hateful. Or we could do You Can't Fix Stupid, or we could do The Best Place to Cry is in the Shower. Which would you like to be the t-shirt, the charity t-shirt?
I think You Can't Fix Stupid is a really good one.
I love that. Because you know what it is? You know what I like about that? And again, here's why you're funny. Because you're going, oh, it's the charity t-shirt that's going to the Parkinson's Foundation, my choosing. Let's make it the most negative one. Let's make it the one that is aimed at my shitty ex-husband. Let's go with that one for charity. I love
and
that.
The t-shirt has to be stretchy because the biggest thing that I struggle with wearing is coats. Because if it's not stretchy on the shoulders, because your shoulders and your arms can't move as well.
Okay.
So I hate t-shirts, but if it's a really stretchy cotton, like really smooth, stretchy cotton, it's easier to get on. Because that's one thing Parkinson's people struggle with. It's like one time I got stuck in my sports bra. my arms were on my head. I'm like, oh, but I found a muscle. My bicep was, I've been lifting so much, so many weights and kickboxing, whatever. My muscle has gotten firmer in my arm. I'm like, oh, I got a new muscle. I try to find the, for every negative thing I tell myself, I try to complement it with two positives because you need one positive to outweigh the negative. Then you need an extra positive to feel good. And a compliment unsaid is a compliment wasted. Because everybody would rather feel good, right?
Yeah, I love it. Things I need to remember myself. We've 90 seconds left. Something that has been on my mind since the beginning, you just brought it back up. And I'm not discounting anything. When you're lifting weights and kickboxing, is this part of physical therapy or are you just like, nope, I'm a badass, so I go and do it?
I'm a badass. Well, just like, there's people that are embarrassed to go to the gym and like, hey, do you want me to turn off my DBS to make you feel more comfortable? Because I'm just grateful that I can move. And that's what I tell myself. And it's not, every day is a bonus day for me. So like if it was like 5 years ago, like if it was 10 years ago, I wouldn't have felt this way. Or if I was born 5 years earlier, I wouldn't have been able to have brain surgery. So this is the days that I wouldn't have been have. So if I don't feel, I try not to feel guilty if I don't do it. If I have a lazy day, like it's raining out right now. So I'm just sitting on my couch and watching, I play this game on my iPhone. And I used to feel really guilty about it, but I'm like, okay, I'm not going to feel guilty about it because I still do feel a little bit guilty about being lazy. But, and the one biggest fear that I have is I can work. I mean, I technically could work, but do I still have Parkinson's? I don't look like I have it now because of the brain surgery, but technically I could work as a nurse, but then I'd lose all my benefits. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing too, is I got my benefits because they go by what you've earned as a nurse. And with my ex having the kids on holidays, I would get holiday pay. So my income looked higher. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Our time is up. Oh, and I'm so bummed about that because I would talk to you forever. And I just want to say, I have a feeling there are a lot of listeners to this show who are going to say this episode is one of their favorite ones that we've ever done. I have a feeling.
I'm going to share it with, I have a therapist that comes in every Friday that I can just talk to, and I'm going to share it with him because he's new at the thing, but everybody needs to start someplace. So just hearing yourself say things, how you feel to someone makes you feel better because in your head, it doesn't make as much sense, but when you start talking about it, it starts to make more sense. like you realize how absurd something is when versus when you're thinking it in your head versus when you're, you know what I'm saying?
I do.
So anyway, I'm going to share your podcast with everybody. I told my sister about it already. She's like, I'll pray for you.
You're the best. It's been a joy talking.
Awesome. Thank you. And I'll be interested to see what your fans say on the post, and I won't take it personally. They say something crabby.
No, they're going to love it. And I think there's going to be a lot of people in this world walking around in real stretchy, you can't fix stupid t-shirts sometime soon.
That'd be perfect. Has to be purple or blue.
Purple or blue. You call the shots. We'll make it happen.
Well, you know that I should tell you about my tattoos that I got, because I got tattoos. There's so much that I could tell you. I wish this was longer.
We'll do a follow-up someday. Maybe next year we'll get back in touch, see where things are at.
Yep, and I'm going to have to get my battery replaced in this next year because it's already starting to die.
Oh, wow.
So you have to get your battery replaced every 5 years. But that's minor compared to brain surgery. So they put electrodes in your brain. I got two spots on top of my head that feels like little horns. They tell my boys, if they make mom mad, they're going to grow bigger.
I think that is the perfect note to end on.
Yeah. That's good. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Caller, thank you so much. I really, really feel so lucky that I get to do this. I feel lucky about that every week. And then weeks like this are ones where that is particularly true. So thank you. And usually everybody, we have a whole outro spiel. And, you know, I mentioned things like the show's produced by Anita Flores and it's engineered by Jared O'Connell with assistance from Marcus Hahn, and that our theme music is by Shell Shag, and all those things remain true. And you can find out about my tour dates at chrisgeth.com. Still true, but also don't forget podswag.com/beautiful. Go get a You Can't Fix Stupid shirt. All the proceeds go to the Michael J. Fox Foundation. I said I don't want to make a dime off of this one. Get all that money over there. So go get a cool t-shirt. It's a great design. Support a good cause. Thanks for listening.